means no. That's the boundary I set. Like a lion in the jungle, I won't let anyone cross my line. I'm a fortress. My power of no is my greatest fortress. It's like the force field. No one can penetrate. My boundaries are unbreakable. They'll always stay. I'm like a vault. I keep my treasures inside. My power of no is my greatest pride.
There is a particular kind of exhaustion that doesn't come from working too hard. It comes from working faithfully, pouring your energy, your loyalty, your time into something that was never designed to give back to you. Not to you personally, not to people like you, not to the community you come from, the values you carry, or the future you are trying to build. This is not a personal wound. This is a collective crisis. The illusion of loyalty. We've been taught that loyalty is a virtue, and it is, when it flows in both directions. But somewhere along the way, loyalty became confused with submission. We were told to keep showing up, keep buying in, keep defending systems, institutions, brands, ideologies, and structures that have never once turned around and asked, are the people sustaining me actually sustained by me? Look around you. How many communities pour their dollars into businesses that don't hire from those communities? How many people vote for parties that pass legislation designed to keep them exactly where they are? How many workers dedicate decades to corporations that offshore their livelihoods the moment a spreadsheet suggests it's profitable? How many cultures celebrate, consume art, music, and culture born from a people, while those same people remain economically invisible? This is not a coincidence. This is a pattern, and patterns require our attention. Flogging a dead horse. There is an old saying, don't flog a dead horse. It means stop investing effort into something that cannot and will not move. It is not cruel to acknowledge when something is dead. It is wisdom. The cruelty is in pretending otherwise, exhausting yourself and your community on the altar of something that has already failed you. This applies to more than horses. It applies to systems that were built without you in mind. It applies to relationships, personal, political, and economic, where the terms were never equal. It applies to movements that have been hollowed out, to institutions that have calcified, to promises that were never intended to be kept. The question is not whether you should feel hurt. The question is, what will you do with what you now know? Because continuing to invest emotionally, financially, politically, spiritually in something that does not invest in you is not loyalty. It is self-erasure. And when we do it collectively, it becomes generational self-erasure. We are not islands. Here is what individualism gets dangerously wrong. It tells you this is your problem to solve alone. That if you are struggling, it is a personal failure of strategy or willpower. If your community is struggling, it is the community failing to help itself. But we do not triumph or fall alone. We never have. Every great leap in human dignity, every expansion of rights, every dismantling of an unjust structure, every moment where the overlooked become undeniable, was a collective act. It required people to look beyond their own immediate comfort and ask the harder question, is this working for us, for all of us? The civil rights, misnamed and should have been called human rights movement, was not a collection of individual grievances. It was a coordinated collective refusal to continue supporting a system that did not support them. The labour movement was not born from one tired factory worker. It was born of thousands of tired factory workers who finally said, our collective effort is the engine of this machine, and we will no longer pretend otherwise. Now, the audit we must conduct. It is time, individually and collectively, to conduct an honest audit. Where is your energy going? Not just your money, though that matters, your attention, your advocacy, your defense, your emotional labor, your vote, your voice, your silence. What are you sustaining? Are you sustaining something that sustains your community in return? Or are you sustaining something that extracts from your community its culture, its labor, its wealth, its identity, and redirects that value elsewhere? What would change if you redirected that energy? This is not about burning everything down. It is about being strategic with what is finite: your time, your resources, your collective power, and directing it toward what can actually grow, what can actually give back, what can actually build something that belongs to all of you. The cost of misplaced unity. The cost is not abstract. It is counted in neighborhoods that never received reinvestment, in health outcomes that fall along lines of who was and wasn't considered when policies were written, in wealth gaps that persist across generations because capital was extracted and never returned, in cultural erasure, a community's contributions are celebrated while the community itself is marginalized. The cost is also psychological. There is a particular grief in realizing you have been faithful to something that was indifferent to your existence. That grief is valid. It deserves to be felt, but it must not become a permanent residence. Grief, when it moves through us, can become clarity. And clarity is the beginning of collective action. What it means to truly support. Supporting something that supports you back does not mean demanding perfection. It means demanding reciprocity. It means asking whether the structure you participate in, the companies you fund, the movements you amplify, the leaders you elevate, the systems you defend, are genuinely accountable to the people who sustain them. It means building inward as much as outward, investing in each other, choosing where you can to circulate resources within communities that have historically seen their resources flow only in one direction, out. It means understanding that collective power is not a threat to individual freedom. It is the foundation of it. The freest individuals in history have always stood on the shoulders of collective struggle. A call to honest reckoning. This is not a call to cynicism. It is a call to clarity. You are not obligated to keep funding your own marginalization. You are not obligated to keep defending systems that were designed with your expendability in mind. You are not obligated to flog a dead horse while your community starves from the energy you are wasting. But you are, we are, obligated to each other. We are obligated to ask the hard questions together, to redirect our collective power with intention, to stop mistaking endurance for progress, to stop confusing survival with thriving. Because here is the truth that no amount of individualism can erase. We are bound to one another. The suffering of one community does not stay contained. The silence of one voice diminishes all voices. The extraction of wealth from one group impoverishes the whole. And equally, the liberation of one strengthens all. The investment in one community's flourishing creates ripples that reach further than we can see. The question that remains. So ask yourself, not just as an individual, but as a member of something larger than yourself. What am I supporting? Does it support me? Does it support us? And if the honest answer is no, then the most powerful, most courageous, most loving thing you can do is to stop flogging that dead horse. Turn around and put that same fierce energy into something and someone that will. We do not triumph alone. We do not fail alone. We rise together, or we are diminished together. The choice of where to place our collective power is, perhaps, the most important choice we will ever make. Choose wisely. Choose together. My dearest friends, I wish you peace, health, happiness, and equity. Be kind, compassionate to yourself and others. Now, how about that?